Would you please turn to, in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, brethren. I want to read one verse, and I want to concentrate really on the last sentence in that verse. 1 Corinthians, we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and then 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. I'm going to read the first phrase of the last sentence. The last sentence carries on into the next verse, but we're going to read that last part or concentrate on it. I'm going to read the whole verse. We're going to concentrate on the latter part. Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 5, 7, "Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." That's the part I want to concentrate on, those last words there. "For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." God bless the reading of His Word and the hearing of His Word and the preaching of His Word is our prayer for Christ's sake. The last several Sundays, I have asked you to consider questions that Jesus asked His followers. I like to consider the questions in Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable to us. But in particular of late, I've had on my mind the question where Jesus asked His disciples, "Whom do ye say that I am?" He asked just before that, He said, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they gave Him some answers, and we've studied that, and won't go into that now. But what I've been doing of late is looking at what people have said about Jesus, who He is and what He is. That question that Jesus asked the disciples, "Whom do ye say that I am?" He first asked, "Who do men say that I am?" And that's important to consider very much. But then I think that Jesus, from His follow-up, is saying, but more importantly, I want to know. He knows everything. It's a question that causes self-examination. Jesus knew the answer already, but He asked it to help us probe ourselves and examine ourselves. And He says, "Who do men say that I am?" And they gave Him the answers because they were out there among the multitude hearing what was said about Him. And then when they gave Him the answer, Jesus said, "But whom do you say that I am? What do you have to say about me?" And when I read that, brethren, about probably 6 weeks ago, it just struck my heart and penetrated my thoughts. And I could hear Jesus asking me that question through the Spirit of God. "Who do you say that I am? What are you saying about me? What do you think about me? Tell me. Examine yourself. I want to know. I want to hear the answer." He knows already. He knows everything. But again, it's a question that I hope it calls me, and I hope it'll cause you to examine your own answer. Well, today we have an answer. Paul was not asked the question directly, but the Apostle Paul, he wrote a whole lot about the man Christ Jesus, the Son of the living God. Peter answered that question for the apostles. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Paul now today, we have looked in recent Sundays at what different individuals have said about Jesus. Some, we've got their words, and some I've kind of expounded and taken a little further and said, they would have said this or they meant this. We've looked at a lot of them, and today we have Paul the Apostle. He says, Christ is, in answer to the, if he were asked this question, he'd say this and he'd say a whole lot more, brethren, because he wrote most of the New Testament. And in one place he said, "I've determined to know one thing among you." One thing. One principal thing. They wrote a lot of different things, but the principal thing, brethren, was this: Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That was Paul's theme, brethren. He said to live is Christ And to die is gain for me. That's what Paul said. So on this occasion, brethren, this is what he said about Christ. He said, Christ is our Passover. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us too. So today, brethren, I want to concentrate on Christ, our Passover. You know, Easter is drawing nigh. It's getting close. And every Easter season, I start reading in the Gospels about the betrayal and the arrest and the torture and the passion of Christ. I haven't started yet this year, but I got to start soon because I'm going to be probably standing up here preaching to you about that. But here's maybe a little dip in our toe in the water. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. That's what Paul, in this particular verse, in this particular part of this sentence, he says about it. I want to really quickly review for just a moment, because I was gone last Sunday, and from Sunday to Sunday, I forget, and maybe you do, and we've got some folks back there on that row that haven't been here to hear any of this, so I want to give them a little brief primer, and I want to give you and me a little refresher course in this. We've looked at people who I said, if they were asked, whom do you say that I am? This is what they said about Jesus, brethren. Just, I'll do it hurriedly because we're pressed for time here. Answers to that question. I think the first one we looked at, the first individual, was the woman Elizabeth, the older lady who God blessed to have a baby, the wife of Zacharias. He was a priest in Jerusalem, and Elizabeth was the cousin of Mary, and Mary came to see her when Mary was pregnant with Jesus, the Son of God. And when she got there, brethren, and spoke to Elizabeth, brethren, what she said of Jesus, whom do you say that I am? She said of Jesus before his birth, he is the blessed fruit of your womb, Mary. He's the blessed fruit of the womb. And her husband then, Zacharias, a priest in Jerusalem, he was in Jerusalem to do his duty in the temple, and the angel Gabriel came to him and said, Elizabeth's going to have a baby. Brethren, when John the Baptist was born, Zacharias said this of Jesus. He said, Jesus is the Redeemer. He's a horn of salvation. He's a deliverer. Both of those are recorded, brethren, in Luke chapter 1, Zacharias and Elizabeth. Then, brethren, in Matthew, we're told what some men said of Jesus. What do they say of him? They said, we're here looking for the King of the Jews. That's what they said about him. He's the King of the Jews. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. And then we look back in Luke, brethren, at what a man named Simeon said. Simeon, the gentleman in the temple who God had said, you will not die before you see the Lord's Christ. And Mary and Joseph brought him in. He was just weeks old. And you know what Simeon said about him? Jesus says, who do you say that I am? Simeon said, I'm holding him in my arms. He's salvation. He's salvation in the flesh. I'm holding him right here. He's salvation, and he praised God. That's what Simeon said about him, brethren. And then just this week's old baby. And then Anna, an older lady, an elderly lady in the temple, same day, same occasion, she said to the people around her, if you're looking for redemption, here he is, right here. There's no record that she got to hold him. She may have, but she said, brethren, the Redeemer has come. Who do you, Anna, say that he is? Oh, he's redemption, brethren. He's redeeming us from our sins. He's our Redeemer. John the Baptist, then we looked at John the Baptist. He's no longer a week's old baby, but a grown man. And he comes walking to where John the Baptist is, baptizing in the wilderness of Judea. And John the Baptist looks at him and says, y'all look. He doesn't say y'all. I don't think John the Baptist knew that word. But he said, behold. Well, he probably didn't say behold either because he didn't speak English. But what he meant was, behold what? The Lamb of God. Yes. That's what John the Baptist said about him. You know, I just thought of this, and it's dangerous for me to get away from my notes, but John the Baptist, he said, he's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. You know, on another occasion, the poor fellow, you know what he said? Are you him, or do we look for another? That's sad, isn't it? He just lost the faith a little while. I don't know. Let me hush on that. But that, I guess, the Lord gave me that thought just to say, sometimes, brethren, it's okay to ask questions. It is okay. It is okay. But John got straightened out, brethren. He got straightened out. And Jesus said, go tell him. Go tell him. The blind see, the lame walk, and the poor have the gospel preached to him. He got him back going good. But John said, behold the Lamb of God, John the Baptist, which taketh away the sin of the world. Okay, that was, I think, two Sundays ago, we looked at two more people, but we don't know their names, brethren. We don't know their names. We don't need to know their names. If we did, God would have given us their names. One of them was a man blind from birth, born blind. Jesus came to him, he anointed his eyes, and he said, go wash. And he washed his eyes and his face, and he came seeing. He came seeing. And that man, he didn't know who it was, brother. He didn't know. He didn't know who it was that healed him. But he said this, I know this. I was blind, and now I see. A lot of people questioned him about it. The scribes, Pharisees, he got into trouble with them because Jesus healed him on Sunday. But he says, I'll tell you what, do sinners, the scribes and Pharisees said, the man that healed you is a sinner. Did this on Sunday. And the man said, do bad people heal on Sunday? Is it wrong to do good things on Sunday? And he said, I know this. I know one thing. I was blind and now I see. And then Jesus found him, went to him and said, do you believe in the Lord? Do you believe in the Christ? And he said, who is he? And he said, it's me. And he said, I believe. You are the Lord. You are the Christ. That was the blind man. Jesus made a believer out of him. We like to use that expression, don't we? Jesus made a believer out of him. Sure did. And then the second person, two Sundays ago, we looked at, whose name we do not know, but we know a lot about her. It was a woman. It was a sinful woman living a sinful lifestyle. She was a Samaritan. She was low down on the socioeconomic scale. She was low down in society, and she was a low life sinner. But you know what? You know what Jesus said about her? He said, I got to go see her. I've got to go see her. I don't mean to criticize her, brethren. When I say it, I'm talking about my own self. I'm just as low as she was. I've done stuff probably a lot lower than she has. But you know what? Jesus says, I need to go see him. I need to go see her. I must needs go through Samaria. And he went to the well where she showed up. He knew she was coming. He knew she was going to be there. Had an appointment with her from eternity, brethren. He had an appointment with her. And he talked to her. And he began to preach to her. And she said later, this is a man that knows everything about me. He told me everything I ever did. And you know what's the beauty of that, brethren? He knew everything about her, and he still went to see her. That amazes me. Isn't that wonderful? Every sin you've ever committed, Jesus knows about it. Every weakness that you have, he knows about it. But he still, brethren, visits you. He visits you with salvation. Won't know her name. But she said, you know what she said to the men in town when she went back? She left her water pot. And that's symbolic, brethren. She left the things of the world. And she went into town. And she began to tell about Jesus. You know what she said he was said about him? Is not this the Christ? And it wasn't a question that she didn't know the answer to. She said, listen, guys, isn't that the Christ? That's got to be him. That's him. There they are. There they are. And today, a new one, a new person, the Apostle Paul. And he wrote, he said, brethren, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Now, to give us a better idea, brethren, about when Paul says, Christ, our sacrifice, Christ, our Passover is sacrificed for us, go to the book of Exodus. Second book of the Bible. Go to Exodus. We're going to read very hurriedly because time's getting away. Exodus chapter 12. I want to read some things to you about the Jewish Passover. You've read them before. I've read them to you before. On February the 2nd, 2020, I read these words to you right here. I want to read them again today. And I want you to bear in mind, brethren, we're talking about the Jewish Passover. And keep in mind, brethren, that we're going to go back in just a moment to where Paul wrote, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Exodus chapter 12. These are the words of Moses written and spoken to the children of Israel. They are in Egypt. They're in Egyptian bondage. And God is giving them instructions on how to avoid the death of the firstborn in their family. They are in Egyptian bondage. God has told Pharaoh, let my people go, that they may worship me. Pharaoh has said, no, I will not do so. God says, yes, you will. Pharaoh says, no, I won't. And so God begins to send plagues upon Pharaoh, his house, his servants, his country. There are going to be 10 of them. I won't go through what the first 9 are, but number 10 is coming up, brethren. Number 10 is at the door. And that's the one that's going to accomplish God's purpose. Not that he failed in the first 9, but he said, I'm going to get glory over Pharaoh. He let him go along and along and along, but finally, brethren, God pulled the final string on him. God is telling the Israelites what to do to avoid the judgment that's going to be meted out that night on Pharaoh, his servants, his country. Here we go, chapter 12, Exodus. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the 2 side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Last verse. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. There are the instructions for the Passover. It was carried out that night, just as God said. Chapter 12, now verse 25, brethren, listen. And it shall come to pass, when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. When you get to Canaan, the land of Canaan, you keep this service. You keep it going. Now, verse 29, And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night. Well, he woke up. He had a death in his house. Death all through the land. He woke up. Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone. And bless me also." Changed his tune, brethren. The first time Moses went to see him, he says, "The great I am says, let my people go. God, the Lord says, let my people go." You know what Pharaoh's response was? "Who is the Lord? Who is that telling me what to do?" And tonight, brethren, this night, he says, "Moses, go. Not only am I going to let you go, I'm telling you, get out of my land. Go, you and your people, and go serve the Lord as you have asked to do." The king's heart is in the Lord's hand. And like rivers of water, he turns it whithersoever he will. Vladimir Putin's heart is in the Lord's hand. Those ministers I was telling you about that started that ministry and God's blessed it, I was with them or talking with some of them just a few days ago, and they said, "Pray for Putin. Pray for him that God will change his heart." And I think they'd say the same thing today. Pray for him. Pray that God will change his heart, because his heart is in God's hand and God's using him. God's going to get glory from this. But just pray, brethren, just pray. Okay. All right. Back to our lesson. There, brethren, I just read you is the Jewish Passover. We read about it from the book of Exodus, the institution of it. And God said, when you get into the land of Canaan, you keep this going. You do it every year. Brethren, a few years ago, or 2 or 3 years ago, I stood right here and I said to you, after that first Passover, that the children of Israel continued to observe that Passover every single year while they were in the wilderness. I think that might not be correct, brethren. I am studying the Passover right now, and it's three of the Jewish feasts. I'm studying them. And I have always assumed, and maybe I've been told, I don't know, but I've always thought that the Jews kept the Passover every single year. I'm beginning to think that's not correct. I know God says to you, and I read this, when you get to Canaan, you observe the Passover. And I know this, when Jesus was 12 years old, we're told that he went to Jerusalem for Passover, as was Mary and Joseph's custom to go up to Passover every year. So when the Jews came into Canaan, at some point they began to observe Passover every year. I think there were stretches of time when they didn't. I'm not sure. But anyway, we do know this, that Luke, the physician, tells us that when Jesus was 12 years old, Mary and Joseph went up to Jerusalem to observe Passover, which was their custom every year. So it was going on then. It was instituted way back in Exodus. And my Bible says the year that God spoke those words to Moses and instituted the first Passover was 1491 B.C. I don't know if that's correct or not. I just give it to you. That's what's in the margin of my Bible. 1500 years before Christ. Now let's go to New Testament, brethren. Let's go to New Testament. Passover's still going on. We know that because Luke tells us when Jesus was 12, he went there. And that's when Mary and Joseph headed back to Nazareth and he stayed behind. We talked about that recently. Now, brethren, in 1 Corinthians, Paul writes to New Testament believers and he says, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The 12-year-old is now a grown man. He's been described as the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. He's gone to the cross of Calvary. He's died there. He's given up his life. He said, no man takes it from me. I lay it down and I'll take it up again. He has taken it up again. He's risen from the grave and he's ascended to the Father after 40 days, showing the apostles and disciples and others who he was and what he's done. And he's ascended and now he's seated at the right hand of God. And as he's seated at the right hand of God, the apostle Paul that he visited on the road to Damascus writes to believers in Christ, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Okay, Jewish Passover, lamb of the first year, without spot or blemish, take his life, put his blood on the doorpost, and the judgment angel of God will pass over your house, Israelites. Every house that had the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, the judgment angel passed over. Jewish Passover. New Testament. Paul the Apostle says, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Paul, whom do you say that I am? Paul says, I say you are our Passover and that you are sacrificed for us. Now, brethren, just some words about that. Just some words about that in closing. Here's a quotation I want to give you. One man wrote this. As Jewish Passover was instituted in commemoration of the deliverance of the Israelites from Egypt, so likewise to prefigure Christ and the redemption of his people by him. The Passover, the Jewish Passover, brethren, prefigures Christ. The Jewish Passover was a type of Christ. All my life long, I've heard preachers stand up and say, the Old Testament is full of types and shadows. Types and shadows, right? What is a type? What is it? What does that mean, type? Well, I knew, I had an idea, but I like to look up words, as you know. A type. A type, brethren, in fact, in our Bible study this morning, the writer said, it's good to look up words and see what the definition is. So we're all on the same thought or page. The Jewish Passover was a type of Christ. A type, brethren, is a person or thing symbolizing the characteristics of something. It's a symbol. It points to something. It's not the something, but it points to that something. A shadow. A shadow, brethren, a shadow goes before. It's a thing, the shadow is, but it's not the thing itself. If I blindfolded you and I took you outside and I faced you a certain way and then I took the blindfold off and I said, look on the ground. And you looked there and there was a shadow there. You'd probably say, I think that's the shadow of a tree. The tree's over here. The sun's over there. You're facing this way. You say, I think that's it. It's not the tree, but it sure looks like the shadow of a tree. It goes before. It points to something. It suggests something. The Jewish Passover, brethren, was a shadow of things to come. Paul knew it because he said, Christ is our Passover. And I want you to consider that now in closing. In this case, the thing, the shadow, the type, brethren, the Jewish Passover is symbolic of a person, Jesus Christ. In the Jewish Passover, we see Jesus. Egyptian bondage represents our bondage, our bondage to sin, our lost condition. We were prisoners, brethren, prisoners of Satan. He held us. He had us in his grip. We were at his mercy. He has no mercy. We were at his beck and call. Egyptian bondage represents our lost condition. The bondage is sin. We were powerless to free ourselves, but God would do it. God visited the Israelites in Egypt, and he said, I'm going to set them free. I'm going to do it. Only God would do it. Only God could do it. No more Jewish Passover, brethren. No need for it. Orthodox Jews, I suppose, observe it. But believers in Jesus don't. Because Jesus Christ is our Passover. He's ours. I love that word. He belongs to us. And we belong to him. We're his and he is ours. Christ is our Passover. His sacrifice freed us from bondage of sin and Satan. The Lamb points to Jesus, the Lamb of God. As the Jewish Passover was instituted in commemoration of the deliverance of Israelites from Egypt, so likewise to prefigure Christ and redemption of His people by Him is our Passover. That's what it pointed to. Now just a four or five examples, brethren, from the Jewish Passover, things in that point to Christ Jesus, our Passover. And you see, Paul saw that and knew that because he was a Pharisee himself of the Jews. Boy, he knew the law. He knew all about it. He knew it. He practiced it. He observed it. But he met his Passover on the road to Damascus, and that's the last time, brother, he ever passed, observed it. It's the last time he ever did it. All right, here are the similarities. Here are the things that point to Christ, our Passover. A lamb of the first year. Christ, the Lamb of God, provided by God. He came from God. Like that substitute on the mountain where Abraham took Isaac up there. And Isaac said, "Daddy, where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? The wood's on me. We've got the fire in the censer here. You got the dagger. Where's the lamb?" And Abraham, "God will provide, son. God will provide." And he did. There's a ram caught in a thicket. Isaac was the lamb, brethren. Isaac was the one going to get his throat cut by his own daddy, who was exercising his faith. He believed, the New Testament tells us, that he believed that if he struck his son dead, that God would raise him up. And he was willing to do that. And he offered him, brethren. He didn't stick the dagger in his throat, but brethren, in his mind, he offered that boy. It is as good as done in Abraham's mind. But when Abraham drew back, brethren, to do it, God said, "Stop." He said, Abraham, don't do that. And then there was he says, "I know that you love me now, and you got the faith." And there's a ram caught in the thicket, and the ram goes on the altar. The ram's throat is cut. And there it is. The Lamb of God. That was the Lamb of God in the thicket, brethren, on that day. And now and for all eternity, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. God's provided. A lamb of the first year. Innocent, harmless, sinless. A lamb of the first year without blemish. We read that just a little while ago. Without blemish. Without sin. Not born in sin. Committed no sin. There he is. A male. A male. Christ himself was a man. The Son of Man. And also the Son of God. A lamb of the first year, without blemish, a male. How were they to prepare that lamb once his life was taken? Roast with fire. Roast him. Don't eat him raw. Don't boil him. That's sodden with flesh. That's boiled. No, roast him with fire. What does fire do, brethren? It burns you. It hurts. That fire speaks, brethren, of the pain experienced by Christ. As your Passover, for you, sacrificing for you, denotes the suffering of Christ on the cross. The blood applied to the doorpost. Listen to this. The application of the blood of the Lamb speaks of the blood of Jesus Christ applied to us upon our hearts, washing away the sin, cleansing our sin, washing as white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, God says, I'll make them like snow. And God, brethren, sees you and me and every single one of His children through the filter of the blood of Jesus. He sees us white as snow. Cleansing of our sins, and that blood provides our protection from divine wrath and the divine vengeance of God for the sins we commit. The killing of the Lamb, the death of Jesus on the cross, our Passover. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The lambs, the thousands or hundreds or millions of lambs that were killed over the course of history, how many sins did they take away? Zero. Not possible that the blood of bulls and goats can take away sins. Hebrews 10:4. But Christ, brethren, our Passover, took away every single one of your sins. Once for all. Hebrews says Christ was offered once for all. One time, one Passover for all, for all of your sins, and for all of God's people. He sacrificed for us. So, brethren, I ask you again the question Jesus asked, whom say ye that I am? He's my Passover, brethren, and he's your Passover. And I hope that you say that. I hope you say it out loud or silently to Jesus. He's the one asking, not me. I just ask it for self-examination. Say it to him. Say it out loud to your family. Fathers, say it to your children. There's some verses in Exodus that says, when the little boys, when your child asks you, why are we doing this? Then you tell them, Daddy, you tell them, we were in bondage and God freed us. He let us out. He freed us. He made us free. Daddies, mamas, you need to say to your children when they say, why we have to go to church? Why are we doing this? You say, honey, I was in bondage one time. I was lost in my sins. I could not deliver myself. But God sent a Lamb of God. He sent the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. And he saved me. And he's my Passover. And you tell them about the old Passover in the Old Testament. And you tell them about the New Testament in Christ, your Passover. Tell them about that. Speak it. Jesus says, what are you saying about me? I hope you say it. I hope I'll say it. Oh, Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for our Passover. Thank you for the plan of salvation carried out in our behalf. When we were simply powerless to do it, to help ourselves, you came and you saved us. We praise you for that. Oh God, may we speak it. May we say it. As the Apostle Paul said it, wrote it, said it, preached it. May we testify to it. In the name of our Passover, we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing a hymn, brethren. If you love Jesus, it's because he loved you first. If you want to be a part of the church here and worship and serve with us, come forward as we sing this hymn. Brother Ralph.